It's good to be back. Good to see everyone today. And just what a privilege it is, and I can't express what a privilege it is to just be able to be spending time with you, dear people, in the Word of God. You know, it's been over the last year or two. I mean, we've had in our own country, we've had, Justin Trudeau, and now this year seems to be in the country to the south of us, the big political year just in the last few weeks, both conventions, Democratic and Republican conventions, have been had to choose their candidates for the big presidential race coming up this fall, and so politics are all over the place, and just the craziness abounds, right? So, you know how campaign teams try making their candidate's name great at all costs, right? Shamelessly promoting it. Shamelessly promoting the name of their candidate and fiercely defending it. There's some people I know in the States who have been, lifelong Republicans, and they're very into politics. But about a year ago, if you would have asked them, they really didn't like Donald Trump a whole lot, right? He wasn't really on the same page as they were, let's say, morally and just personality-wise and all those other kinds of things. But now that he's the candidate and there are these lifelong Republicans, it's very interesting to hear, to talk with them, now hearing them just shamelessly promoting him and even in a bizarre kind of fashion, fiercely defending him. So now if I'm just kind of having some fun conversation with them, I even mentioned, well, what about this or what about that? That might not be, the greatest compliment or good thing about this candidate. They will fiercely defend why he's good. They will not only that, they defend his family. They'll defend the way he dresses, his hairstyle, and you can't cut down anything. Not that we should be anyway. But the point is, now he's the candidate that they're gonna back. And they will shamelessly promote him. They will fiercely defend him. So if you've ever heard like a campaign team, supporters of a candidate, any political candidate, any country, if you hear them, being interviewed on TV and all that kind of stuff, there are some things you will never, ever hear them say. You will never, ever hear campaign supporters taking credit for something great their candidate does. They will always give their candidate credit. You'll never hear them taking credit for something great their candidate does. Second thing, you will never hear them blame their candidate when something goes wrong. It is anybody's fault but their candidate's fault. All right? They will put blame on anything but their candidate. You will never hear anyone supporting someone blame their candidate. And the third thing is you will never hear them passing up an opportunity to talk about how great their candidate is. Never. So my question is, why do God's followers seem to do that all the time? God's followers seem to pass up those opportunities all the time, don't they? God does something great, and we often try taking credit for it, or at least a little bit of credit for it, don't we? Something goes wrong, things go wrong. How quick are we to blame God? Maybe not directly, even indirectly. How often don't we blame God? And how many times are we just given the perfect opportunity to tell someone about God, to share his name, to talk about what he's done, and we remain silent? I mean, we pass up opportunities to proclaim his name and how great he is and what he has done for us all the time. So if people don't do that for constantly blundering, far from perfect, very imperfect political candidates, why do we do that for God? If people who aren't even faithful people, who aren't even believing kind of people, who aren't even, you'd say, always, the nicest kind of people, would never think of blaming their candidate or taking credit or not taking every opportunity to boast their name. Like, why would we do that with God, who is perfect, who always takes care of us, who blesses us, who has prepared an eternity for us and sealed it with Jesus for free. We are here to show how great God's name is. That's what we're here for, to show how great his name is, to praise his name, to proclaim his salvation, to declare his glory and his marvelous deeds. And Psalm 96, all of Scripture, like the text for today is all of Scripture. But we're just going to just look at Psalm 96. It's beautiful. Let's look at the first three verses. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. So all the people of the earth, are called to praise his name, to sing to the Lord, because he has provided salvation for all the people of the world. Jesus won peace and forgiveness, not just for church people, but for everybody. And since Jesus died for the sins of all the world, God's people are to proclaim his message of salvation to all the people of the earth. These first three verses of this psalm are a call to us to proclaim his name to others. It's a call for us to witness the good news of Jesus Christ to everyone we meet, especially to the people who don't know that yet, to unbelievers, to people who haven't been brought to faith yet. This is our call. This is our purpose. This is why we're here. It's a new song. Sing to the Lord a new song. It's a new song because it announces God's new covenant. The new covenant, which was established by the blood of Jesus Christ, given and shed for you. A new covenant established by what Jesus did for us on the cross, giving his life for us to pay for our sins and make everything right between us and God. The old covenant was about, here's what you need to be to make God happy. The new covenant is, here's what I've done. Here's what I've done for you to take all your failures away and make you right with me, secured by the blood of my son. That's how much I love you. So the old song, the old way of salvation by works, here's what you need to do to be holy with God, that is to be cast aside. That was only to prepare and make way for the new covenant of here's what I've done for you. And so the people of the world who they need to put aside, they need to get rid of their futile, self-invented efforts of finding God and sing a new song to the Lord. A new song about the God who wants to find us, about the God who found us, about the God who came down to this world and gave everything for us. So put aside that old song. Put aside that old song of striving to make yourself right to God. That's not what we're talking about when we're talking about being holy. Put that aside and sing the new song that thanks God for making you holy. So the song is a new song, and the song remains new. It's still new. You've heard it. I think you've all heard it here, but it remains new. Why? The song remains new because you never outgrow your need for it. You and I never outgrow our need for this song of grace. Every day we need God's mercy. We fail on a regular daily basis. We need God's mercy every day, and God's mercy is new for us every morning. So that song is new. It's still new for us right now. It was new when we woke up today, and it's going to be new tomorrow, and it's going to be new this afternoon. The song remains new because we never outgrow our need for it. Let's look at verses 4-6. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. The Lord is the only one who deserves our praise. He alone is the creator of the universe. He alone is the ruler of the universe. He alone is the savior of the world. He alone is coming to judge the world. So stop praising your idols, all the things that he created. And start praising the one who created them. Stop letting your life be all about serving the things that God made for you and blessed you with, and start letting your life be about worshiping the one who gave them to you. He alone is worthy of our praise. Then verses 7 to 10. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. So it says, families. Ascribe the Lord, O families of nations. It's talking about clans, larger groups of families, extended families among the various nations. So clans gathering from the nations, congregations. So what is going to go on here? What this is going to be talking about is something that happens in community. I love what Craig just showed us there with the kids, because what happened there in that circle is more powerful when the community is doing it than one person or two. And what he's talking about here isn't just an individual call to each of us what you should be doing in your own life, but it's something that happens in community, all of us, and the community that God will add to this name. And the passage is this. Here's our purpose. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. So our purpose for gathering here as a church, really the underlying purpose of Cross of Life, our purpose is gathering here as a congregation, as a church, is to give God's name the glory it deserves. A community making God's name great. That's what we're here to do. A community making God's name great. First, in worship, okay, this is what worship is all about. We are here today, so it's a beautiful summer day. Instead of being at the lake or sleeping in or whatever, you're here today in a usually hot, but not as quite hot today, gym. But you're here today, why? Because we are proclaiming his name. We're here just to declare in our presence, in your prayers, in your prayer requests, in the things you fill in your Connect card, in the way you sing those songs, in your devotion to the Word, in the encouragement you give each other, in the worship that pours out of you today, we're here to just declare and proclaim how great God is. And there are maybe some people here who are new, who are guests of Cross of Life. Maybe this is your first day. Maybe it's your second or third day here. Maybe you're not a believer yet, and you're just looking into what Christianity is all about. You're growing in your faith, and you're here, and you're seeing the other people who know who God is and who are proclaiming his name. You're seeing his name, you're hearing his name be proclaimed, and you're being blessed by that, because that's what we're here to do in worship, to proclaim the name of the Lord, to proclaim God's name, and to give him honor. That is what worship is about, and that is why this 10:30 gathering every Sunday all year long is in a sense the most important thing we do. Together, worshiping him as a community, proclaiming his name, and inviting everyone who we possibly can to come in here and hear that name be proclaimed so they can begin proclaiming it too. So in worship, also in witness, everything we do out there, from the soccer fields and the hordes of children we can proclaim his name to the March break camps that we gather kids and proclaim them to you guys being out in your streets and your yards and your neighborhoods and your jobs and your schools and wherever you walk and wherever you go, to that ministry center where we also proclaim his name, everywhere we can reach out to people, our witness out there, that's what we're here to make God's name great, to proclaim his name. That's why we're here. The psalm says, worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. We worship him in the holy attire that he clothes us in. Scripture speaks that way. When Jesus took your sins away, he gave you his holiness. None of us have been holy, that's for sure. But God sees us as holy. Because when you believe in Jesus Christ, God sees you in that robe of righteousness that Jesus has given you. That's why I wear this thing, to just to remind us of that. That not this robe, but we've all been covered with a real robe. That when God looks at you, he sees you as holy. So we worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness in everything you do, personally, privately, publicly, corporately. Last week, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever we do, in word and deed, we do it all for the glory of God. Worship is something that's part of every part of our life. Okay, worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. So we worship the Lord because he's holy. That's why we worship him. So we worship the Lord because he's holy. We're only able to worship the Lord because he has made us holy. If he hadn't made us holy, we couldn't even step into his presence. And we worship the Lord by being holy, by living holy lives in the world around us so they can see what God is like. We pray, every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be your name, or hallowed be thy name. So holy be your name, Lord. Well, God's name is already holy, right? We can't make it holy, it already is. But we don't always live as though it's holy, do we? So that prayer partly is, Lord, help me live in a way that makes your name holy, and forgive me for the times that I haven't. Hallowed be your name. God's name is, we can't make God's name holy by anything we do. It already is. But we can make it holy by showing others how holy it is. So we can't make God's name holy, but we can show others how holy it is by living holy lives. How do we make God's name great? I mean, so if campaign teams can make the name of their candidate, their imperfect, blundering, immoral, whoever it is, candidate, if they can make the names of imperfect people great, can't we do that for God's name? Because he's perfect, he's holy, he's great. Every good thing in our life is because of him. If people can promote athletes or politicians or movie stars or just whoever on this earth that they love and they're proud of, can't we make God's name great? There's nothing wrong with God. He's all perfect and all holy. So let's shamelessly promote his name. Let's shamelessly promote God's name. If people can do that for politicians, please. Let's shamelessly promote God's name. Let's fiercely defend his name. Because there's no reason we shouldn't. He has nothing to be blamed for. Let's give God credit. When God showers blessings on us, let's give him credit for all those blessings that he showers on us, from little to big. For everything. I mean, for the beautiful day that he's given us today. Give him credit for that. For maybe a wonderful meal you'll eat later today where there's good food. God gave you that, and he made stuff like that taste good. Just every little thing in life is a reason to give him credit. Or, the new job he gave you, or an exciting new relationship he's blessed you with, or any successful venture, whatever it is, huge as it is, let's always give him credit because they all came from God, and that makes God's name great. Here's another one. Don't blame him. Don't blame him. When things aren't going your way, when you've been slighted by somebody, when you've been hurt by someone else, when there's unfairness in your life, when there's injustice, when there's violence and crime and unhappiness in the world, don't blame God. He doesn't like that stuff any more than you do. Don't blame him. Because finally in his word, he tells us this. He tells us that all those things that he allows happen to us are going to serve our good. They're going to grow us. They're going to strengthen our faith. They're going to bring us closer to him. Don't blame God. Show your joy, even through the difficulties. You'd be amazed to see the impact that will make on other people's lives. And friends, take every opportunity you can. Take every opportunity to tell others how great God's name is, to tell others how great God is, to talk about his name, to talk about his deeds, to talk about what he has done for you. If you're walking through the park on a nice summer evening, if you're sitting on the train on your way to work, if you're talking to your child's teacher, you're talking to your boss, or if you're wearing one of our soccer camp jerseys that says Unafraid on the back, you and your kids, and you walk into a store, and the shopkeeper says, "Oh, what are you guys unafraid of?" And you're like, "Really? Did you really just ask me that? We're unafraid of everything." What makes you unafraid of everything? Because Jesus has made everything right between God and us. We have nothing to be afraid of. Maybe heights, but other than that, nothing to be afraid of. Even heights, because even if I should fall, and you know, which is my worst fear in the world, I know that all will be well. God will use that for my good, or he'll take me to heaven. So we have nothing to be afraid of. Take those opportunities to tell others the most important thing they need to hear. Why does it seem, my wife and I always talk about this, why does it seem that everyone gets to talk about their thing, but we're supposed to be silent? Everyone gets to talk about their car or their sport or their cottage or their, you know, hobby or their whatever, their set of dishware or I don't know, their thing they like doing or their involvement, you know, it doesn't matter what it is, but everyone could talk about their thing, but we're supposed to be quiet about this thing. Why? There's no reason for that. And maybe it's just in our heads, friends. Let's be a community. Let's be a community making God's name great. Let's be a community making God's name great. That's my prayer for us. That's my prayer for us. So in a time, in a day and age that we live, that we are so connected to the world, our prayer is, set us apart, Lord. Set us apart. Think about it, how connected we are to the world. If you've been driving around these days, we just yesterday were, walking around the neighborhood, have you seen the zombies everywhere? You know what I'm talking about, right? Little zombies walking around like this. Oh, it's sometimes adults. What are they doing? They're playing Pokemon Go, right? Some of you probably are doing that too, all right? We're connected to the world. We're connected with video games. We're connected to the internet. We're connected to social media. We're connected to TV. All right? We're connected to busy schedules, to finances, to material pursuits, whatever. In this day, in this age, in this time, we're so connected to the world. Set us apart, Lord. Set us apart so people can see how we're different. So people can see how God is different. In this time, in this day, in this age of huge uncertainty and unrest, what we need is holiness. What we need is to be set apart as holy. Think about it. Islamic extremism, the atrocities that happen because of holy war. Think of the violence between police and people. The political unrest and all that happens with that. We don't need holy war. We need holiness. We need us to be set apart as holy. We need to show others how God's life is different, how God's life is good. The way God intended it to be is good. And we need to show people what that's like, but we're not always good at that, so we need forgiveness. We need forgiveness. And so we ask the Lord forgiveness, and we ask him to search our hearts, even those places in our hearts that we try hiding, and convict us of those things, Lord. Convict us of those things and lead us to repentance. And then forgive us. Forgive us and heal us and renew us to begin living the kind of holy lives that say thank you to you, Lord. Lead us to love like you loved us. Lead us to live the kind of holy lives that show others what you are like. Lord, use us to do your will on earth, to be a community showing others how great your name is, showing others how holy your name is. Set us apart for you, Lord. That's our prayer. So we can show the contrast between you and this world you created, this world that you once created so perfectly, has become so, so flawed and so full of pain. So use us to show the world how great you are. The world gets so confused as to how great you are because they identify it with the world that has fallen. But so use us, whose hearts and lives you have changed, Lord, to show the world how great you are. Okay, make us holy in how we live our lives for you. Friends, this is what Scripture tells you. This is what the psalm is telling you. Be holy in all you do. With God's help, we're not holy, we're not perfect, but with God's help, as a thank you to him now, be holy in all you do. That's what the world needs, okay? The world doesn't need the next big program or the, you know, slick advertise. What the world needs is for us to be holy in all we do, for us to be set apart. It needs us to be a community that is set apart, that is showing the world who God truly is. And that's why we're here. Put everything else aside that helps us do that. The reason we're here is to be a community showing the world how great God's name is. We need the why. We need the why, though. I can't send you out of here without the why. Why? Why does the world need to know? Why does the world need to know God's name? Why do we need to proclaim God's name? Why? Because there was a time when all of our sins were brought together. All of our sins. Someone had to pay for them. Someone had to bear the responsibility for them. Someone had to own up to them and take ownership of them, and someone had to put their name on our sins. And who put their name on our sins? God did. God did. Jesus put his name on every single one of our sins, and he took ownership of them. He put his name on them. He took ownership of them. He bore the blame and the responsibility for every single one of our sins. So when that question was asked of every single one of them, whose sin does this belong to? The answer, every time, Jesus. Well, whose sin does this belong to, though? Jesus. Yeah, but this one is a really big one. Whose sin does this belong to? Jesus. Why should we proclaim his name? Because he proclaimed our name. He proclaimed your name. Every time Jesus was asked, whose sins are you paying for? His answer, Joel's. Whose sins are you paying for? Craig's. Whose sins are you paying for? Yours, yours, yours. He said your name, every one of your names. He proclaimed your name when asked who he was dying for. He proclaimed your name when asked who he was dying for, so you can proclaim his name when asked who you're living for. Our psalm ends with these verses, 11 to 13. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his truth. Even the created world praises the Lord for his act of salvation. See, the created world, the natural world, didn't fall into sin. Trees didn't sin. Animals didn't sin. But they certainly have suffered a lot since human beings sinned, haven't they? Think about it. Diseases, suffering, dying, drought, storms, earthquakes, environmental issues, and the list goes on. But when Christ comes, he's going to restore peace and harmony to God's creation. And so not only will we be rejoicing, but the whole earth will be rejoicing. The trees, the mountains, the hills. You know that hymn we sing during Christmas time a lot, Joy to the World? That hymn was made from this psalm. That hymn was made to talk about when Christ will come again. Let fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. The whole earth is going to rejoice and praise God when he comes again, not just us. And Christ is coming again. Jesus is coming again. He's going to judge us in righteousness, in the righteousness that he won for us, in the righteousness that he has given us, in the holy attire that he has clothed us in. And that is the greatest news in the world. That's the greatest news in the world. Our God is wonderful, and so is his name. Proclaim it. Proclaim it. Make it great by showing how great it is. The Lord proclaimed your name when asked who he was dying for. You can proclaim his name when asked who you're living for. Amen. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.